We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, why'd you put everything that was in your bag away?
I got it right here.
Oh, you got it? Oh,
okay. Yeah, I kept it.
All right, we're going to do what's in Channing Crowder's bag in a second.
I keep items.
It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. There's a woman that came by asking for Advil, yep. And Crowder had it. Of the three of us. Now, Falero, on the other side of the glass, I saw you look into an empty bottle. Is there a bottle that, like, had Advil?
Yeah, I had a form like a Zyrtec bottle. I put Advil, Tums, Halls into it, but there was only Tums left.
Okay. Zyrtec?
Did I say Zyrtec?
What is that?
Zyrtec is an allergy medicine.
You got allergies?
Sometimes.
I have bad allergies too.
You got allergies?
You think this is an age thing? You think this is an age thing?
I think y'all need to get your immune systems up.
I don't think allergies has to do anything with your immune system.
Yeah, man, fight off that pollen. Y'all are grown ups with allergies.
What do you mean grown? You think kids are the only ones with allergies?
My daughter takes Claritin. She takes a little dropper.
Do you think that she's going to stop taking Claritin when she reaches a certain age?
She better. I ain't buying Claritin for
like
the next 18 damn
allergies.
Years.
Like you go to the AccuWeather app, and it has readings for allergens in the air, and how intense they might or might not be. Like for example, today, tree pollen allergies low, as are dust and dander. Right, really, we're in low allergy season.
Y'all ate meat your whole life?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Vegetables?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Grain. Yeah. Good grain?
Good grain, yeah.
Okay.
I had my three square meals, Crowder.
You know what?
I had my three square meals.
Y'all aren't big beer drinkers. Drink you some Hop Gun. Go to Funky Buddha. Get you some Hop Gun. Boy, them allergies leave so fast.
I'm not an IPA guy. I mean,
you
want me to have some Floridians at Funky Buddha?
Yes.
They have one the other, I think it's called a Summer Shandy.
Oh, it's delicious.
Fantastic.
Yes, that's what you got to do.
What a beer.
It's the Funky Buddha Happy Hour, actually.
It is indeed.
Tell us about it, Crowder.
I'm
trying to help y'all out with that. Yes, get some IPA, some good strong Hop Gun in you.
I will say, though, a minor quirk about the production. First off, it doesn't really sound like beer. The pouring of a beer, right?
Well, the popping of the beer can.
To be honest with you, when I hear that sound, I wonder if it has this effect on the audience. I wonder if there's someone right now on the 836 going west right now. It's a disaster on the 836, just because it always is.
Yeah.
Right? And they got in the car and they thought, you know what? I can make it. I can get home without peeing. And every time you play this sound, it makes me really want to pee. And I feel bad for the commuter on the 836 west right now that thought they could make it. And is right now going, I can't. I got to pull over. Like it's just, is thinking, the only thought racing through his head is, I really have to pee right now. I would reconsider the production.
You got
to
clench up that Kegel muscle.
The what?
The Kegel muscle.
What is that?
That's the muscle that the pelvic floor or something. That's what keeps you, holds everything in.
How do you spell that?
Kegels.
Kegels?
Tight pelvic
floor.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be your Kegel exercise. I've heard that before, but.
Thank you, yeah.
All right, I'm Googling it right now. Okay. Tell us about Funky Buddha Happy Hour, the interim.
It's Funky Buddha Happy Hour.
Can I get a gloves off?
That's my
favorite one.
We go at the next time you had a Panthers game. Why are we going? Where are we going? Not next week.
April 1st, I believe. April 4th.
Five games left of Florida Panthers hockey at home.
Every time we go down to the BB&T, they make fun of me because I sit and wait for 6 o'clock to hit so that I can go downstairs. They have the Funky Buddha tap room right across from Pantherland. As soon as you walk in to the BB&T, during the period breaks, it's full. They have all the beers. They have their own gloves off, and Sean Thornton helped them make it. It's an IPA as well. It's delicious. Man, you gotta go. I'm telling you, man, drink you some Hop Gun. What else you got? Asthma?
If I look and sound like I wasn't listening, it's because I'm reading about Kegel exercises, and this is something.
You look
pelvic
like lost
floor.
And focused. Yeah, you're just focused onto the
that's
computer.
That's how you keep everything inside, man.
How to do Kegel exercises for men.
Mm-hmm.
Find the right muscles to identify your pelvic floor muscles.
We're going
to
do this.
I'm working mine right now. You can't even see me.
Stop urination in midstream or tighten the muscles that keep you from passing gas. These maneuvers use your pelvic floor muscles. Once you've identified your pelvic floor muscles, you can do the exercises in any position, although you might find it easier to do them lying down at first. Tighten your pelvic tighten your pelvic floor muscles. Hold the contraction for 3 seconds and then relax for 3 seconds. Try it a few times in a row. When your muscles get stronger, try doing Kegel exercises while sitting, standing, or walking. You might benefit from Kegel exercises if you, quote, have urinary or fecal incontinence.
I told you, and then people text it in, and I knew this was wrong. That's why I brought it up. It's just for women. Nope, we got Kegel's muscles, too.
We have a pelvic floor as well.
Yeah,
and that is exactly the page I'm on right now. Mayoclinic.org. Kegel exercises for men. Understand the benefits.
I know. I mean, I got a strong Kegel, boy. Got a 38 on the one to lick.
What?
My Kegels killed the Wonderlic. Strong Kegels.
What does one have to do with the other?
I don't know. Draft time. I don't know where it came up. Yeah, man. No, we do. The text. I'm telling you, bro.
Yeah.
The Kegels, that's how you stop. That's how, because people
lose
themselves.
So you're saying your Kegel is impervious.
Oh, man.
To the Funky Buddha happy hour sound.
Nope.
That sounds like this. I'm telling you, man, I can't hear that sound without thinking of peeing.
Kegel's tight right now.
Is that the sound you make when you tighten your Kegel?
Joker thick.
WQAM is on the road for the big college basketball tournament. It's the Hooters Hoops Hysteria Thursday, March 21st. Join Hockman and Crowder at 2 p.m. at the Hooters in Coral Way for a live broadcast. Enjoy the Hoops Hysteria at Hooters. Make plans now to play hooky at Hooters during March. Don't miss any of the action. Visit HootersFlorida.com for location nearest you. There is, I mean, so many H words. All the H words. It's too bad Harvard isn't playing. So it's just all of the H words. By the way,
I have Houston winning it all.
Do you? Oh, wow! How about that?
The Cougars, yeah, they're gonna pull it out this year.
Now, I will say though, the thing about the college bat. Now, one of the for me the best things about being a soccer fan is that there are sporting events on during the day. It's like Tuesday at 3, and there's a game on that you can watch. You know, it's Sunday. You know, Sunday at 10 a.m. and there's a game on. This for me the most attractive part of the college basketball tournament is that there are games that, like, during your show tomorrow, 5 games will tip off and a few others will reach their conclusion. So Minnesota Louisville will reach its conclusion during your show. Yale LSU. Come on, you Yales. I don't know what their logo is. New Mexico State Auburn. And then tipping off Vermont FSU, Bradley Michigan State, Belmont Maryland, Northeastern Kansas, Murray State and Marquette. You've got all those games going on during the show. And join Hawk and Crowder tomorrow to participate in all of it. It's incredible.
Bulldogs for the Yale.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We're going to bet on all of them and lose most of them.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. I mean, how much fun are you guys? Are you guys even going to do a show tomorrow, or is it just going to be reacting to games playing out on a television in front of you? It's the best.
We do a show, but then when it gets down to the end of the game, close game.
You can't do play-by-play because that's obviously against the rules. But you can get really excited about the games that are going. It's the best. Having games on during the day while you're working, it leads to a lack of productivity, but it doesn't matter because you're having fun watching the college basketball. Coming up next, we're talking some Miami Dolphins tanking with Adam Beasley, the Miami Herald. Radio.com.
Radio.com. Think I can fly when I'm with you. My arms are wide, catching fire as the wind blows.
Chris Whittingham, Channing Crowder here on 560 WQAM. This is Hockman and Crowder. Happy 74th birthday to Pat Riley today.
Yes.
We do want to get to some heat on the program because obviously the end is not going particularly well for him. But there is one team that seems to be clearly outlining a plan for the future of their team, and that is the Miami Dolphins. And discussing it right now is Adam Beasley of the Miami Herald, who's kind of joining us here on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Beas, how you doing, sir?
What kind of bizarre world are we in that the Heat are taking their cues from the Miami Dolphins?
Well, I don't know if it's cues. I don't know if they're ever going to follow the same tactics, but I can at least identify what the Dolphins are doing, whereas I can't really with the Heat, right? I mean,
they don't tank. That's
right, exactly. Right.
They just refuse to ever rebuild, and they try to make – which is admirable. I mean, mm-hmm. as a fan, you want to feel like you have a chance to make the playoffs every year. That's fine. But it doesn't get you any closer to winning a championship than what they're right. doing. In fact, it probably gets them farther and farther away.
Right, and that's the thing, is that it's the championship aspect of it. I mean, making the playoffs in a sport in which more than half the teams make the playoffs is not any kind of accomplishment for me. And frankly, if the NBA were 1 through 16, there's a very real chance that the Heat would not make the postseason, right? Because I think Sacramento's better than they are if you balance the schedules only more so. But I do want to talk about this idea of the Dolphins tanking. And frankly, the signing of Ryan Fitzpatrick kind of almost being antithetical to that. Are you kind of in the camp that he's too good to be part of a tanking team?
Come on, man. I mean, this
he
is a guy
who had 400-yard games last year.
Okay, Whittingham. What is this? His 15th season?
Yes. His eighth team.
His eighth team in 15 seasons. How many of those seasons did he go into the opener with the clear-cut starting job? Five? Four?
Yeah, I remember the year that they extended him in Buffalo, where it was like, all right, he's our guy, and then that very quickly didn't happen.
Because of the suspension to Jameis.
Yep.
So 3, if not 4 years, that's the market telling you something.
Mm-hmm.
It's telling you the Dolphins have a backup quarterback as their starter. And yes, everybody in a small sample size can get hot. There's no guarantee that if you threw Luke Falk out there, or David Fales, or even Brock Osweiler, who won 2 games last year, that the same thing's not going to happen. But the people who say this, and I understand the argument, but here's the counter. You cannot go into a regular season with Brock Osweiler or Luke Falk or David Fales or Jake Rudock as your starter and credibly look in the eyes of your players and say, we're trying to win. And yes, they want the number one pick in the draft. Everybody would love to have Tua on their team, even the Packers would love to have Tua on their team because he is going to be a great quarterback in the future. But Brian Flores is building something more than just one player. He's building the culture the right way, and I know people roll their eyes when they hear that word, but there has to be winning habits, and there haven't been true winning habits in this organization in a long time. I know they went to the playoffs in 16, but I think we can all agree that was a blip. That was an anomaly. It didn't change anything. So you can't just take a pause from doing things the right way for 1 year and expect the players to come back, even really good players, to come back and not look at you cross-eyed.
And B's with the Fitzpatrick, I like to call him Fitz Magic because I like those 4 games of 400 yards. But did that have something to do with the decision where he is going to give you some excitement, even though he's a 5-win quarterback throughout his career? If he does start, he will give you some excitement. You're going to get you 3 or 4 pretty good games.
What I was told is he was the best quarterback available, and they went after Teddy and they went after Tyrod. And they thought those two were two of the best quarterbacks available. They weren't going to get into a bidding war for a guy like Nick Foles, who, yes, won a Super Bowl, but is he going to win a Super Bowl with this team? Is he, with the way this roster is constructed, does he get you anywhere closer? He might, now Nick Foles might be the guy that gets you in trouble, gets you the 6 or 7 wins when he shouldn't. Are you going to pay $22 million for that? Or are you going to pay $5 million for Ryan Fitzpatrick, who might get you 1 or 2 fewer wins, get you closer where you want to be at the end of the day, which is Tua, and not blow up your salary cap. So, yeah, there were offers on the table for players that were in his ballpark, and they were going to get a real quarterback here. I mean, all along, they were not going to completely mail in the most important position probably in all of sports. You can't do that. So, yeah, I mean, he's going to be exciting. He's a decent quarterback. But look at what surrounds him. And everyone says, well, you know, Ryan Tannehill got this team to 7 wins last year. Why can't Ryan Fitzpatrick? Can we all agree those were fraudulent 7 wins? That was really a bad 5-win team that got super lucky at the end of 2 games?
I mean, they're bottom 5 in the league in both offense and defense. So, yeah, right. you could say it's probably even worse than a 5-win team. You could say it was a 3-win team.
So why do you think that – is Ryan Fitzpatrick tangibly better than Ryan Tannehill?
No. I do think that the one difference, though, is that, I mean, Ryan Tannehill is more solid game in, game out, but again, it's the spurts, right? It's the 400-yard games mixed in with the terribleness. You know that you're going to get the terribleness, but, I mean, that ceiling is pretty high. I mean, 400 yards, and I think that first game against New Orleans, it was like 21 of 28 and four touchdowns. Like, this might be too good.
Well, and again, yes, those games are awesome. Who is he throwing to?
Right, exactly. I mean, in those games, it's Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans. Or DeSean Jackson, I'm sorry. DeSean Jackson and Mike Evans.
Right, and so you're talking about a team last year that was trying to win in the Buccaneers that were more talented than what the Dolphins are going to be this year. Great quarterbacks can raise a team from mediocrity to the playoffs, but mediocre quarterbacks, you are what you are. And what their talent is right now is a 3 or 4 win team.
Right, and that would sort of lead you to believe that they're on this path. Now, is your reporting commensurate with what's been out there from ESPN and your colleague Armando Salguero that this is the plan, that their plan is to be bad for a year?
Their plan is that, yes, I mean, that's the functionality of what they're doing.
Sure.
They're not trying to go out and lose games this year. Brian Flores is going to wake up every Monday morning and try to figure out how to beat the team 6 days later. Like they're not going to try to lose games, but they are going to build everything around the 2020 offseason, the draft, free agency, trades. They're leaving themselves so many assets that they can use next year, and I think they're going to pick up more. I would not at all be surprised if they're not in love with Dwayne Haskins at 13, if Haskins is there, and we can get into that if you like, or if there's not what they see as a future Hall of Fame defensive or offensive lineman there at 13, I expect them to trade back, and I expect them to trade back again and again to get as many assets in that 2020 draft as possible, because that's really when they see they're going to make some noise. If it is Tua, if it's somebody else. Now, I know the argument that if they don't get a number one pick, the number one pick is probably out of their reach, because whoever gets that pick is not going to trade it. Tua is that valuable. But it's going to be a good quarterback class in general. So there are other guys. Say they finish with a third pick, they're going to have the ammunition to go up to two if that pick is something they want to do. And I think that's what this entire offseason is about. They're trying to trade Robert Quinn. As I said, I wouldn't be surprised if they don't trade back in this year's draft to get assets in next. If they can get themselves another first-round pick next year, which is very possible, I mean, they could absolutely do that if they trade out of the first round, then I think they can control the draft. They're going to be bad this year. They're going to have a high draft pick, and they're going to get out of that. They're going to get out of that draft with their franchise quarterback. Whether or not it's Tua kind of depends on luck. Depends on if they luck into one or two wins, or they get three or four.
Right, and that's my next question. Is that so? If Tua is the guy, right? And look, I mean, Fromm and Herbert, and there are other options in this draft. And another year from now, it'll be Trevor Lawrence. There are going to be other options. It's not just Tua or bust. But when Adam Schefter tweets out, you know, they signed Ryan Fitzpatrick in 2019 with Tua Tagovailoa in mind in 2020. It's pretty clear that for me, it's from ownership that's kind of the idea, is that Stephen Ross is fascinated by this one player. And so that would take getting one, because I think even, you know, if you accrue all these assets and compensatory picks and you're able to sort of go on and be bad, maybe three or four, that even with an armament of assets, it's still not enough to get to one, because any team that gets number one this year is going to take him and almost not consider any offer. So is it going to have to be that bad? Is it going to have to be 2-14 for the Dolphins to really accomplish what they want to get done? And how do you even go about doing that as an NFL team?
What was that phrase? An armament of assets?
An armament of assets.
That was a big word there, boy.
Yeah, man. Whittingham up in the level of discourse in 560. I love it.
Thesaurus, man.
You think,
huh?
Hockman knows what the definition of that word is?
No, Hockman can throw around a big word every once in a while.
They have word offs, bees.
Yeah. It's that UM education.
I think you're onto something, Chris. I think that unless there's just a crazy situation like, with a team with a young franchise quarterback that'd be unquestionably their guy over Tua.
I mean, it could be Arizona again.
If Arizona picks Kyler this year and they go in the toilet, or there's Deshaun Watson gets hurt again, or something like that, where something completely unforeseen happens, and they want to stick with the guy they have because the guy they have is really good, then I could see the trade down. But if it's just a team like the Giants, if the Giants go the number one pick in the draft, they're not trading it. I mean, they will take Tua, assuming they don't take Haskins this year. There are situations that are kind of crazy things happen. And that's why, and if you talk to people inside the organization, That's why they think the idea of tanking for one player just doesn't make sense, because there is so many things beyond their control. You can be awful, and the Dolphins, the way the roster is constructed, they're with a 100-to-1 long shot to win the AFC East, you know? Well, 101 just to win their division. So the market is telling you they're a bad football team, but it's a 16-game season. It's not like baseball where the worst team is the worst team because you have 162 tries to show how bad you are. Like in football, there are 16 games, and even the talent level between the very best and the very worst isn't that great because it's still professional football, right? And so I do think that they could luck their way into a couple of wins no matter who their quarterback is, and kind of mess up a plan of tanking for Tua. So, again, that's why I think they're going to get a quarterback out of this year's draft or next year's draft. And I am sure they would want the best possible prospect, and we all think that's Tua. But to think that if they don't get Tua, this entire plan is a failure, I think would be unfair, because for this plan to succeed, it's probably, what, maybe a 5 to 10% chance at this point? Maybe 15 that that they have the worst pick in the worst record and the number one pick in the draft. They're going to have a backup plan. They're going to have other ways they can attack it. And say they do end up with the number two pick in the draft, they can't trade up. They go and get Justin Herbert, and then they have 9 or 10 other premium picks they can use to make their roster better.
B, this is a weird question with the direction of the team, but is Chris Greer doing a great job preparing for 2020?
I think Chris should be praised for his long-term vision. I think Brandon Shore, their new, I don't know what his title is, but basically capologist and, you know, smart moneyball kind of guy, he deserves credit for what they've done. I think Brian Flores deserves credit for understanding what he's getting into and being okay with the plan. He took the job with a 5-year guarantee because he knew it's going to take a minute. And honestly, I think Steve Ross deserves a ton of credit too, because the guy has never won. He's been to one playoff appearance in a decade, and that was a blowout loss. He's 78 years old. He has been a huge success in everything else he's done in life except this one thing. I mean, I was at the stadium today. I don't know if you guys have seen it for tennis yet, and it is jaw-dropping. It is absolutely jaw-dropping. So he took a dump of facility, and that's what old Joe Robbie was, and turned it into one of the best football and now tennis venues in the United States of America. He's got vision. He's a smart guy, and this is the one thing he can't do. He cannot figure out how to win at a high level in football, and it just eats the hell out of him away. So, yeah, I think he deserves credit. I think they all deserve some credit for what they're doing. But let's be honest, guys. I mean, assuming that you have a degree of patience, this is the easy part, right? Anybody can tear down, and anybody can have the foresight to say, you know what, let's get into the 2020 draft, and kudos to Ross for, you know, giving an extra $5 million to get Tannehill here out of there for a draft pick, and he's going to do the same for Quinn. But that's the easy part. I mean, the hard part is to evaluate, draft, and then develop players that are going to be the core of a Super Bowl champion. And that's really what this is all about.
Yeah, and that was going to be my next question. We're joined here by Adam Beasley of the Miami Herald, is the Robert Quinn thing. And the fact that it's not just that you're trying to trade for him, it's that you're trying to trade him away instead of just cutting him when you can just save all that money. It's that Stephen Ross is writing checks for draft picks, basically. Is that not what's happening here?
Yes, because this is a team that will always spend whatever they can to win. Mm-hmm. And they're starting to spend the money a lot smarter than they did before. I mean, think about this. They had, the final total was $60 million over 3 years was what they paid for Ndamukong Suh. $60 million in real cash is what they paid for Suh, and they're still paying off his salary cap hit this year. Think how many players that you could get for that $60 million if the going rate for a second-round pick, which is what the Browns and Texans told us was about $15, $16 million, if the going rate for a fourth-round pick is $5 million. You can build your roster in such a complete way, and that's what Ross is seeing, that he would love to stroke a big check and get the best 10 players in the world and get them on the team. That's just not how football works. It's not that easy. Franchise tags and all that, the guy with the most money doesn't win always because of rules that have been set up to enhance competitive balance. But this is one way where he, so long as they don't go over the salary cap and so long as they don't hurt themselves in 2020, he can spend whatever he wants to help this team get younger, get better, and get cheaper.
And Bees, I understand getting rid of Quinn, Wake, Tannehill, Sidney, Amendola, Branch Gore, they're old guys. But the Juwan James situation kind of got to me. What he wanted too much money? Did they not evaluate him at that level of the money he wanted? What happened with Juwan?
He's not that good.
That's what it was. He just wasn't – he wasn't performing because he had hell of a year 2 years ago.
You watch every snap, Chang. Did you think he was a $13 million right tackle?
With where the league is going? Because he had – I would say he went down last year. Lambie played better last year, but 2 years ago he was balling, no Bees.
Yeah, I mean, you talk to people inside that building, and this is something that was with a straight face told to me. We thought our offense functioned better with Sam Young at right tackle.
That's not good.
So when you hear that, I mean, that could just be hyperbole, but it could also be – there's got to be a grain of truth to it too. And so if they feel like a replacement-level right tackle – does just as good of a job as the $13 million man. Just simple economics say it was right to let him walk.
And that is Adam Beasley joining us here on 560 WQAM on Twitter at Adam H. Beasley. And, of course, read the coverage at MiamiHerald.com. Appreciate the time.
All right, guys.
All right, and that is Adam Beasley joining us here on 560 WQAM. Chris Whittingham, Channing Crowder here until 6. Radio.com. Chris Whittingham, Channing Crowder here on 560 WQAM, the Miami Open. It's one of the premier tennis events in the world, featuring the best players from around the world. With its new home at Hard Rock Stadium, this event will provide an incredible experience for avid tennis fans and casual event enthusiasts alike. For ticketing and information, visit www.miamiopen.com. Does anyone still – when is the last time you put www into your web browser? 2007?
Every time I type in a website.
Oh, stop it.
No, you don't.
It's natural.
Is it?
Yeah, because y'all – I just go
Crowder.
To the top bar, www.
You don't have to put www.
Well, you're missing out. You get your information wherever you want. I want the World Wide Web.
What are we missing out on?
The World Wide Web.
But you're not like
well,
it
we're
for, still on
it does
wait,
it for you.
Do you think we're on a different version of the web?
Listen, man, you just have to do it. You just have I'm
no,
so
you
used,
don't.
I'm
you
so
literally
used,
don't have to do it.
But I'm so don't you have to put .com still?
You do, yeah.
Well, I'm used to doing both sides.
We should you know what? That should be the next thing because eventually the internet figured out how to get you onto a website without putting www. We need to get to a point where we don't need the .com anymore.
But there's .com, there's .net, there's .gov, .edu. It's going to be kind of hard to do
that. Well, okay, but we need every website then to have its own unique URL. Just as you don't have 954, you know, like you don't have the same number as somebody else. And it actually got to the point where we had to bring back the area code, but... I mean, you don't have the same number. You can't have the same word to somebody else. So ESPN, it's just ESPN. You punch in ESPN, it takes you to their website. We need to get there. That's what I'm saying.
I just, you know, you just the suffix y'all do, but you don't do the prefix. I don't want to dive right into the website. I want a little foreplay.
You know, like how on some websites they allow you to just hit .com. You don't have to punch in .com.
It should I just love hit, that.
It should have www, just in case you want it.
It used to, honestly, it happened because you used to. It wouldn't work if you didn't put www.
Right, exactly.
But now all the technology, I understand. But I got used to it. I do it. They make fun of me because I call it the search bar, the top bar. I call it the search bar because if you type in whatever you want in that top little gray bar, it's not Google. It's just the top bar. It goes somewhere and gives you some information, and I love it.
What would you guys prefer to call the address bar?
I don't know what they want to call. They make fun of me.
The address bar. Yeah, like just it's just the address. Like put your web address.
Yeah.
I but you can also top, use
type
it
in
to,
whatever I
you
want.
You can also use it to Google things.
I know, but that's not what Crowder's doing.
They make when I want to YouTube something, I go to YouTube.com and type it into the search on there. They say I should get an app. Something
no,
like that. I
don't
know
I
what's
that.
Going
I
on.
I do that too. When
no,
I'm gonna,
you have the YouTube app.
Oh yeah, no, I yeah.
He goes to Safari. Goes to YouTube.com.
That's ludicrous.
I'm sorry, www.youtube.com, and then watch the video. Yeah.
Because I'm on a lower iOS.
You don't have an app?
No, I can't get any apps now. They only have an iOS 2. I don't do upgrades.
You have
on my
iOS
phone.
2?
Yeah, man.
Crowder.
That would
you have iOS 2?
I can't even direct message on Instagram because I can't upgrade my Instagram because my iOS is too low. I don't like all the my iOS's.
But
every time you upgrade, something changes. I lose a contact. Okay. I don't know what they're doing to my phone.
I would understand if
I'm
you
not going to have any sexual predators playing with my phone, Chris.
How did it get there?
I just let him go.
And they stink.
I'm on iOS 12.1.4.
What happened?
The most modern version is 12.1.4. Now, I will say, the one thing, I just recently got back from the UK. They don't upgrade their phones as often as we do here in the United States. The upgrading of the phones is not, like, I saw people with, like, iPhone 4s walking around, like, small, like, wait a second, what? Like, these, like, iPhone 4s. But, I mean, you have iOS 2.
Yeah, I have a low iOS.
What iPhone do you have? Do you have, like, a 6, a 4, a 5, a 7?
I don't know what my case covers my camera.
That's a giant iPhone.
This is big. My wife gets all my upgrades.
Maybe
for
like the 7 Plus or 8 Plus.
Okay, then you don't have iOS 2.
I have a low iOS. Because they asked me to upgrade.
Why won't you upgrade?
Because every time I do it, something changes, man. And then I can't find my damn light, my flashlight. Where's the flashlight at? It's not where it used to be. I don't like it, man. I get used to stuff.
We can adjust very quickly.
That's a good point, though. It does change.
It does change.
It changes your stuff.
But like how long does it take you to then find where the flashlight is?
We do it because Valero will be like, hey, pull this up. And I'll be like, I don't have it. And he'll show me his phone and be like, hey, and you touch like a right top-hand corner and slide something down.
Yeah.
If you touch the right corner of my phone, nothing happens.
Yeah, yours comes up from the bottom.
Yeah, like he has all this. I don't want all that, man. Simple.
But then you get jealous when he has. Well, where'd you get that?
No, I'm not jealous. I wish they went back to house phones. It would make my life if cell phones were deleted.
They do sell house phones.
You know what I'm saying, where there's no more access. I do not like to be able for someone to get in contact with me 24/7. You can call me, text me, email me, DM me, Twitter and Instagram, and talk to me and call this and email. Mm. No,
you want to be off the grid?
Hit me at the house when I get the message. I'll call you back. That's how it used to be, the good old days, when people believed in marriage.
All right, we have a couple of things we have to get to here before we go. And one is the thing that you just brought up. Was that like a code for me to move on to weddings? I was made fun of during the commercial break because
I said,
I love weddings.
It's weird.
I love weddings. Alana, a friend of the program, Alana, who works downstairs, said that she was going to Los Angeles because she was going to a wedding. And I just blurted out, I love weddings. I'm jealous because I love weddings. I saw you and Hawk at Falero's wedding, and I wanted to be there. I like weddings. Weddings are fun affairs where everyone is happy. The dancing is fantastic. A meal is great. You have a great meal at a wedding. And it's a fun day. So free drinking. Explain to me why someone would dislike weddings. I think you
should be neutral on weddings.
No, why? It's a great day. I love going to weddings.
Just any wedding.
Yeah.
Even if you're not tight with them.
If anyone in the audience wants to invite me to their wedding, I'll go.
Really?
Yeah. I kind of want to be a wedding crasher.
Oh, you're trying to get the action.
No, I just want to go to weddings.
No, don't be sneaky. You just told it. That's what you want. You want to sneak up on somebody that has that love in their heart. Because weddings, you love.
Yes,
you find somebody that loves love, and you love their love, and y'all can love each other. Yeah, boy, I got you. I knew what you were doing. You think you're sick.
That certainly is part of it. But you just said love is love, and love is love, and love is in the air. It's a great time.
I would say at Falero's wedding, I teared up when him and the whole family came together. Him and his mom were out there, and then his brother and dad came out, and they had like a family hug.
Nice.
But I know him. Like, we hang out. I've been to his house, so I know the family dynamic, so it warmed my heart. Just going to see some random, you know, butt wipes walking around getting married, it wouldn't get me excited.
But, like, all the people in your life, like, if Hawk renewed his, renewing a vow is not the same as a wedding.
Oh, he shouldn't do that. He should not do that.
Why not?
She might say no. Have you ever been around Hawkman? He got it locked in. He better keep it locked in. Don't give it out.
Right. There is no renewal required. We already did the till death do us part. But
yes.
But I mean, if the people in your life, as they get married, you want to be there because it's a fun day.
It is. For people you know, because it's that relationship.
But like,
it's weird when you say it. Somebody's like, yeah. Because she said, let me go. I got to fly to L.A.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, what you going to L.A. for? She said, a wedding. And then you said, oh, I love weddings. It's weird, man. I would say majority of people would never have that response.
Really? She sounded like she's like, ugh, weddings.
Yeah, she didn't like weddings.
Yeah.
I'm neutral on weddings. Like, I don't dislike them, but I don't say
I don't
like
know
them.
How one would dislike it.
They're decent. I don't mind
it's
going to a wedding.
It's a fun day out.
Yeah. Free drinks and free food.
It's my kind of environment. I'm not great in clubs. I'm not great in where there's loud music.
But to that
like a band, like a DJ.
But to the fact about the food and drinks, though, really, like, you get you know, cornered in because there's not a selection.
Mm.
Like, whatever they give you, you have to take.
It's not a full-service bar.
Yeah. It's hard. I don't think I've found one IPA at a wedding I've been at yet. I'm like, hey, what you
it's
got?
It's not a wedding drink.
And Valero had like five or six beers, but I was like, no IPA? He didn't watch out for me. I wanted to bring my cooler, but
I thought you were going to bring the cooler.
Talked me out of it. He said it was lame.
Could have left
and all.
It in my room.
I wouldn't know. I should have. But yes. And then you can't, you know, can't choose your own plate. I want to choose my plate.
IPAs are reserved for Funky Buddha Happy Hour here on 560 WQAM and the Mark Hochman and Crowder Show.
Well, that's what makes a wedding a hop gun.
I have to pee again.
Oh, I ran out of hop gun.
I need to Kegels up.
I need to work on my Kegel. And very quickly, before we go, why do you have so much crap in your bag?
I'm just prepared.
Okay, so let's run through it here. Let's do an accounting of the items because you were looking for an Advil for a coworker. And look,
and I found
as much as I'm going to make fun of you right now for the amount of absolute crap that is in your bag, you didn't aid a needy coworker because a woman came around looking for an Advil and you had it. You were her hero for the day.
So as I started looking, I did. I found the Advil and it was the liquid gel caps, too, the good stuff. I'm not giving them little raggedy ass orange ones.
So you think that a gel cap is better than a normal pill?
Oh, way better.
I don't agree.
Easier to break down.
You know what? If I'm going to take medicine, this is going to sound weird. I kind of want the taste of medicine. You know what I mean? Yeah, like I want it, like, because then I feel like it's working.
But that's like an iOS 2 pill. Wouldn't you want an iOS 12 pill, the new age pills?
No, but I feel like if I take the new age pill, I don't feel like it's really working. It feels like it's gel.
So I did have the liquid gels.
Yeah, you did? Yeah,
I got me some strawberry Hubba Bubba, Visine Original, a lighter.
Okay.
Tylenol Sinus Severe Daytime for adults.
One of the four pills. One of the four packs of pills has been used.
Bonine.
What is Bonine?
Motion sickness.
Oh, you have motion sickness?
No, but I go fishing a lot, and if it's a nasty day, I usually take my work bag fishing with me to keep my items.
I thought because your mantra for being healthy is just telling your body not now.
Yeah, I tell it not now. Then I'll give it a little something to encourage not now. Nexium? This damn age. When I hit 30, that heartburn cranked up on me.
Really?
How old are you?
26.
Oh, yeah. You don't know about heartburn yet.
I had heartburn once.
Ooh.
I had heartburn once. It was supposed to do a University of Miami game the next day. I was keeled over in the radio booth. Like it was the worst heart, like probably the worst I've ever felt.
Get used to it. When you hit 30, heartburn. Oh, man, it's going to be around. Just for nothing. Nothing you do
anything.
And
you're a believer in Nexium?
I eat whatever's on sale. Yeah. I do. I buy, eat, take whatever's on sale. I don't have any love for anything.
You have lip balm. You called it lip gloss earlier.
Call it lip gloss.
And I don't think you understood that's not the correct phrase.
A lip gloss?
For men.
And it smells like mint. I got chapstick.
And it comes in a little egg. I've heard the egg is very good for the lip balm.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to impress the wife. Get the shiny lips. I got a can of Grizzly Dark Wintergreen.
Yep.
And two pencil sharpeners.
That's the thing that I can't remember legitimately the last time I used a pencil.
I got a whole pack of pencils in my bag.
Why?
I don't know. I like it.
I can't remember the last time I used a pencil.
I'd like to be able to correct myself.
All right. Hochman is back tomorrow for our Hooters Hoops Hysteria broadcast, live from varying Hooters locations around South Florida. The tournament begins tomorrow. Right here on WQM. Our thanks to Eric Falero. Our thanks to our guests today. They were Adam Beasley, Dave Hyde, and Manny Navarro. And that'll just about do it for us today. Hochman and Crowder will speak with you mañana.
And they stink this morning.
You're
I had the kids. The turkey sausage. What happened?
Oh, I thought you had my mic on.
What? I thought you wanted to say something to the mic.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.